Sky Broadcasting presents Target Earth, audio described by Chris Gwinnett. A caption reads, Springfield, Illinois, last night. A smiling elderly lady ambles down her garden, clutching a glass of milk. She greets two workmen. One is in a crane working on electrics at the top of a pole. Suddenly, all of the lights inside the lady's house come on.
Thank you!
No problem, ma'am.
As she strolls back towards her house, all of the lights go off again.
What the hell was that?
The transformer! The control grid overload!
An electric pole a few yards down the road explodes. The woman turns and stares skyward as a bright blue light shines up from behind her house. Wind begins to gust all around, whipping through the garden, tossing up leaves and spinning the woman around.
The green is blue! I've got the first generator! They're all gonna go!
Well, I'm getting out of here!
More poles explode, moving in a line towards the workman. He frantically tries to lower the crane. He jumps to the ground just as the pole that he was working on explodes in a shower of fire and sparks. He swings around looking aghast as three blue lights move across the sky. The house becomes bathed in a brilliant white light which is emitted from the center of a large hexagonal craft hovering in the sky. The old woman looks up, shielding her eyes from the dazzling light. The workmen continue to watch in shock as the light goes off and the craft moves away. Their gaze follows the craft as it flies over a field, briefly shining its light down onto a tractor, then speeding off into the night sky. Terrified, and still grasping her glass, the woman runs into her house. The workmen are forced to dive out of the way as someone drives past them down the road in their truck. Two police cars follow just behind. The truck hurtles along the road but comes to an abrupt stop as it crashes into a tree. The driver jumps out of the cab and runs off into the woods that surround the road. A number of uniformed officers jump out of their cars and give chase. The man continues to flee through the woods, followed by the police whose flashlight beams cut through the dark. An unmarked car with flashing blue lights pulls up next to the stationary police cars. Agent Naples, a stern-faced bald man wearing a dark suit and overcoat, gets out of the unmarked car. Meanwhile, the fugitive hides behind a tree as the knot of police scurry past. He then slopes off in the opposite direction. A framed photograph of a couple posing with their dog stands next to a baseball mitt. A man takes a mug out of a microwave and attaches a tin can to an electric opener. The handsome, clean-shaven man from the photograph glances up as if preoccupied. He dumps the contents of the can into a bowl and places it onto the floor. A black dog eats hungrily from the bowl. The man tips a generous helping of sugar straight from the packet into his mug. He picks up a handgun from the counter and holsters it onto his belt. As he sips his drink, he reads a newspaper. A headline reads, Senator Ben Arnold announces candidacy. He clips a police badge onto his belt. Along with his partner, he arrives outside a house. A woman runs hurriedly down and out to them.
He's crazy. My husband, we were just having breakfast, and all of a sudden he started screaming and he won't stop.
All right, okay. What's your name, ma'am?
Elaine. Lippman.
Mrs. Lippman, all right. Have you been drinking?
No.
No? All right.
No.
All right, all right. I'll tell you what. Let's take care of this. Why don't you just stand over by the car?
Come on, no, but this way.
It's all
right.
Right
over here, man. Calm down now. We're going to take care of everything, all right? Now, Mrs. Lippman, what's your husband's name?
Mr. Lippman.
I'll go around back.
As his partner jogs to the back of the house, Detective Sam Adams knocks on the door.
Mr. Lippman! Detective Adams! Why don't you come on out and talk with me? Mr. Lippman!
Sam opens the door. Mr. Lippman brandishes the shotgun.
Mr. Lippman?
You don't understand!
Just calm down there, Mr. Lippman. I just want to talk to you for a second. Put down the gun. And just remain calm, okay?
It's over!
Sam pulls his gun but overbalances and shoots the porch light. Mr. Lippman is tackled from behind by Sam's partner.
Sam, get the gun! Sam, get the gun! Get the gun! Get up! Get up! Good shooting there, Tex. It's a real vicious porch light, Sam.
A car pulls up next to a mailbox against which leans a small pink bicycle. A nameplate on the mailbox reads McAfee. Karen, a pretty flame-haired woman, gets out of the car and collects grocery bags from the back seat.
Mommy, can I ride my bike?
Yeah, honey, but just down to the end of the street, no further, okay?
Tammy, the little girl, puts her doll into the bike's basket and cycles off down a long open road that has a wooded area off to one side. Karen collects her mail from the box and goes to her front door. With her hands full carrying the grocery bags and mail, Karen struggles with her keys.
What, honey?
Mommy!
What is it, Tammy? Tammy? Honey? Tammy? Tammy!
Tammy's bike lies in the road.
In the game today. Hey, Quickstraw!
Don't shoot!
Good luck in there, Sam.
Two detectives playfully mock Sam as he walks through the police station. He looks sheepish as he enters an office.
Yeah, come in. I read Chip's report. You're lucky we're not sweeping your brains off Mr. Littman's welcome mat.
I tripped.
Sam drew his weapon, lost his balance, fired one round from 10 feet away, which missed the assailant, but did manage to take out the porch light.
Did he mention that I also had a shotgun in my belly?
Look, nobody's asking you to save the world, but you've got to be able to save yourself or your partner or whoever it is who relies on you. You know, maybe it's time to start thinking about a change. Your uncle could probably pull some strings, maybe get you into the Secret Service or something.
I'm a detective. I'm not a security guard.
And you're a good detective, one of my best. But you haven't been yourself, Sam. Not since Beth.
Sheriff, I'm very sorry to interrupt you like this, but we're trying our hardest to secure a situation out there, and I get your deputies scurrying all over the place. Now, whether you like it or not, this is now my jurisdiction. That is, my felon.
Yeah, well, your felon took one of my residents, and that makes it my business.
What's all the excitement?
A little girl was kidnapped outside of town this morning. Agent Nables here thinks it's their man who took him. Wanted felon, member of some half-baked militia group or something. You two do know each other, don't you? Sam, I'll talk to you when I get back. Think about what I said, all right? Agent Nables?
The sheriff steps out of the room.
It's Sam
Adams.
Of course. I remember your wife, what, 3-4 years ago, give or take?
4 years ago today, actually.
Right. We're sorry. We don't solve them all, do we?
Oh, I didn't solve that one.
No. Well, the worst part's just not knowing, isn't it? I gotta go.
Naples gives Sam an almost challenging look before leaving. Sam walks along a corridor, hands buried deep in his pockets.
Need a volunteer. My mugger went AWOL. Let me borrow you for a minute.
Ladies, meet Sam Adams, good friend of mine in many years. He looks like a nasty assailant, doesn't he?
Sam stands awkwardly in front of a group of stony-faced women. He wears protective gear, including a helmet and jockstrap.
Hello.
Now, most people think that the gun is the ultimate weapon in self-defense. They're wrong. Well, they could be right. That is, if you have a gun, or if you can get to one and you use it properly. Now, when you're up close and personal with the perpetrator, your body is far more effective and far more accurate, okay? All right, Sam, attack. Let's go. Come on, big guy. Here we go. Right here. What are you waiting for? Afraid you're gonna hurt me? Come on.
Sam gingerly lunges. Madeline punches him in the stomach and the throat before tossing him to the floor. With a lost expression, Karen gazes at a wooden swing hanging empty. Her hands squeeze a soft toy which she grips close to her body as she mills around, fraught. Police and FBI use dogs to search a wooded area. The fugitive also moves through the woods carrying Tammy, unconscious, cradled in his arms. He looks around anxiously. The fugitive nears the brow of a hill. Just yards away, barren trees expose a house, outside which children are playing. The man lays Tammy gently down on the ground. He places a shiny metallic disc into the palm of Tammy's hand. Using a small handheld device, he shines a red beam over Tammy's closed palm. When he opens her hand, the disc has disappeared. He rubs her palm tenderly.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I had to do this, little one. But I didn't have a choice.
He strokes her hair and kisses her on the forehead before ducking away. Sam shadowboxes in his kitchen. Sam's dog, Jefferson, runs into the kitchen, chewing on Tammy's rag doll.
What are you stealing for us now?
Where'd you get this? Show me what you got. Yeah. Show me what you got. Show me what you got.
Sam chases after Jefferson, who bounds over the leaf-covered ground. Jefferson sits down by Tammy's prone body.
Good boy. Good boy, Jefferson.
Sam checks Tammy's pulse and then gently takes her into his arms and runs back towards his house. Next, two police cars scream towards the McAfee house. Karen apprehensively creeps out of her front door. She looks with anguish towards Sam, who steps out of the lead car. On the verge of breaking down, Karen's face suddenly changes into an expression of joy as she sees Tammy emerge from behind the car. Tammy leaps into her mother's arms.
Thank you.
That feels good, Sam. Real good.
The sheriff warmly pats Sam on the shoulder. Sam smiles as Karen hurries into her house, still clutching Tammy. As he moves back towards the car, Sam takes one more glance over his shoulder, back towards the house. The fugitive now sits at a table in a dark room, nursing his cuffed wrists. A microphone is positioned in front of him. Agent Naples hangs his jacket on the back of a chair. He straightens his tie, undoes his shirt sleeves and sits opposite the man, fixing him with a cold, almost menacing stare. The man returns the stare, albeit with a more worried look.
Tell me about your militia group, Raymond, and what they had to do with the kidnapping of a little girl.
I let her go. I knew she'd be safe.
Well, now I'm real sure that the court's going to take that into consideration. as well as the weapons charge. But here's the newsflash, Raymond. I'm the only guy around here who could possibly help you.
Well, the problem is, I can't do anything for you until you tell me the exact location of the militia headquarters.
Naples has a prominent scar on his neck just below his ear. He turns towards the two-way mirror through which the sheriff and Sam observe proceedings.
Yes, Raymond. We know who you are.
Why don't you tell him who you are? Why don't you tell him what you did to me? Tell him about the needles and the abductions and the implants. Hey, show him your scar. I'll show him mine.
Full moon tonight.
What happened to the equipment that you stole from us, Raymond? Does Bigfoot have it?
Bigfoot lives in the Northwest.
Who else knows about this, Raymond?
Listen to me.
Who else knows?
They are everywhere. We don't have any time.
Who else knows, Raymond?
You've got to listen to me!
Who else knows, Raymond?
Somebody. I cannot believe this!
Hey, Adams.
They're here.
Take care of this lady for me out here. I just got a call.
Too late to stop them!
I'm here, Raymond.
Go ahead. I'll let you know when he asks to phone home.
Listen to me.
The old woman from the previous night is at Sam's desk.
Hi, I'm Detective Adams. Can I help you?
I hope so, Detective. I have something important to tell you.
Okay.
It was a UFO, wasn't it? That thing that I saw the other night. Are they friendly?
Miss,
Darlington. Miss Darlene Darlington. And I know what I saw. Those two lovely boys who brought the lights back on, they saw it. And then whoever it was that the police were chasing, I bet he saw it too. Came right over our heads. I want protection. I want to know if we're safe.
Okay. Mrs. Darlington. There are no such things as UFOs.
And what makes you so sure about that?
Common sense.
Who do you know has any common sense? You can't keep this from us. It says so in the Constitution. This is still the land of the free and the home of the brave, isn't it?
Yes.
Are we safe?
Yes. Yes, we are, and I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to look right into this. All I need from you is your address and your phone number.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Darlene writes her details on a pad of paper, casting skeptical looks at Sam.
I'll be waiting to hear from you, Detective.
Okay. Take care.
Darlene leaves. Sam screws up her details, leans back in his chair, and rubs his eyes. Now night has fallen. Sam walks from his vehicle along a garden path carrying Tammy's rag doll. He appears uncomfortable and fidgets with his collar and tie as he goes to the front door of Karen's house. Sam again checks his appearance.
Hi.
Hi.
Hope it's not too late.
No, no.
Oh, good. Her doll. Figure she'd be missing her.
Wow. So. Two for two.
Yeah.
Do you want to come in?
Well, I don't want to be a bother.
It's not a bother at all. I'll make some coffee.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All I've got is instant. Is that okay?
Yeah. Everything I eat is instant. Coffee's no exception.
I've been going crazy the last couple days. Doctors, reporters. The FBI was here. They searched the entire house. Wanted to know if the creep had given anything to Tammy. Then they wouldn't tell me anything about the guy. Tammy wouldn't even talk to them like she was afraid or something.
Yeah. I've dealt with the FBI before, trust me. They all flunked out of charm school.
Well, I've thanked you 1,000 times. I'd like to make it 1,001.
You're welcome. Get any sugar?
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. How's Tammy?
She's fine. I think that Mom was more frightened than she was. I don't know what I would have done if I had gotten her back.
With a mournful air, Sam stares down as he springs out sugar.
My wife disappeared 4 years ago on her way up to visit her folks in Chicago. We found the station wagon, but not too much else. No sign of a struggle. No. Spent a long time looking. Every lead.
I'm so sorry.
But I tell you, when I found your little girl, saw her lying there, and I knew she was all right. First thing I thought about was you.
Me?
I knew you'd have a chance to feel that pain go away.
Karen averts her eyes from Sam and chews her lip as she struggles and fails to hold back tears.
What's your first name? They never told me your name.
Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
1002.
Would you like to give Tammy her doll?
I'd love to.
Honey?
Emmett had a little lamb, its fleece as white as snow, and everywhere that Emmett went, I was sure to go.
Tammy scribbles on sheets of paper.
Honey, what are you doing?
It's for Emmett. I have to find him, Mommy, before it's too late.
Who's Emmett, honey?
The leader of Section 238 Patriots.
Section 238 Patriots?
He needs me so he'll know exactly when and where they're coming.
Who's coming, Tammy? Tammy?
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. When out from afar, they came from the stars to conquer the Milky Way.
Sam sees that Tammy is drawing lines of zeros and ones across the page. He and Karen share a concerned look. Later, Sam sits at a computer in the police station searching for files on Raymond Boyd. A screen pops up reading "No match found." Agent Naples strides into the room.
Agent Naples.
Can you do it for you, Detective?
Well, this Raymond guy. I tried to talk with him earlier today, and, well, your boys won't let anyone see him.
That's right.
Well, if he's a wanted felon, how come I can't bring up his fingerprints from the database?
I know the answer to that one. But doesn't all this just fall a little outside your job description, Detective?
I'm just looking for answers.
So are we. As soon as we find ours, you'll have yours.
Sam notices the prominent scar on Naples' neck. His eyebrows arch together as he ponders. Later, on the road, Sam chews gum and drives casually as he tails Agent Naples. Sam brings his car to a halt as he watches Naples access a road, the entrance to which is protected by an electronic gate. Naples drives towards what look like large aircraft hangars. Sam leans closer to the window and strains to watch. He grabs some binoculars from the back seat and peers through them. Sam sees Naples drive into an open hangar. Two armed guards close the huge metal doors after him. Later, Sam sits in Karen's house sifting through a child's colorful drawings.
I'm so scared, Sam. She keeps reciting nursery rhymes, all jumbled up, goes on and on about finding Emmett. I don't know anybody named Emmett. She doesn't know anybody named Emmett.
What did the doctor say?
Post-traumatic stress. They gave her some medication and want me to keep her out of school for a few days, but you can't tell me this is normal behavior, Sam. I mean, look at these drawings. How could Tammy draw this?
She usually draws spaceships?
No, she never did before.
You know, I was out by some abandoned hangars today, and there was something in there that...
Looked like a spaceship?
I don't want to say that, but it was definitely not any aircraft I've ever seen before. I'm going to go see somebody tomorrow. I think they can give me some help or information.
Great. Would you keep Tammy out of it? I don't want her on Geraldo.
Yeah, probably.
Sam heads for the door. Cameron follows close on his heels. Sam stops suddenly.
Do you mind? I'm
sorry. Patsy, sorry.
Do you mind if I borrow these?
No. No, no, I'll take them.
Sam begins to leave, carrying Tammy's drawings.
Sam, this friend of yours, do you trust him?
Yeah. He's my uncle. Oh. Thank you for dinner.
You're welcome. Night.
Good night.
A man is being made up for TV.
Ben. Sammy. How are you, my man?
Great.
How are you? What are you doing here out of the blue? It's been a long time, huh?
2 years.
2 years? Has it been 2 years? Goodness gracious. You know, I was thinking about you when we flew in here. I had a perfect view of the mountain where I used to take you camping, yeah, remember?
Sure.
God, I miss that. How you looking? Good. How you doing?
Great.
And Beth, do you have any new leads on Beth?
No. No.
Gee, well, it's good to see you. What are you doing here?
Excuse me, Senator.
Yeah.
You're up in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you're busy. I'm
all right. We're all right. What's going on?
I'm here to ask you for a favor.
Yeah?
Yeah. A couple days ago, a little girl was kidnapped, and the FBI has been mute on the guy that took her. I looked into it. I can't find anything. No fingerprint record, no rap sheet. It's as if this guy never existed.
Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I know that when Beth disappeared, you applied a little pressure on the FBI to get things going, and that's what I'm looking for again.
Yeah. Well, the problem is I'm not real sure I could do that again, Sam. We're kind of under the... Are we down here? We've been under the microscope right now with the campaign.
Yeah,
it might not look so good, but I'll do what I can for you. Okay? And will you do me a favor?
Anything, boy.
Will you come see me in Washington?
You got it.
Huh? Maybe we'll see a Skins game.
Done.
Huh? Deal? Okay, take care now.
All right, you too.
All right.
One last thing, Ben. Did you happen to know if the military's doing any sort of aircraft testing in the area?
Around here?
Yeah. Missiles, fighters, anything that might make people see strange things in the sky.
Strange things in the sky? Sammy, not that I know of. But if I hear of any, I'll let you know, okay?
Good.
Strange things. Yeah. All right. Take care.
All right. Good luck.
Back at the police station.
You really want to do this?
Oh, yeah.
You're sure? The FBI's got pretty good tracers. This might be worth a double dare, Sam.
A double dog dare, yeah.
All right. Skating over thin ice, our safety is in our speed. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Let's be quick. Who's your man?
Naples. N-A-P-L-E-S.
Got it. Okay.
The pair bring up Naples' file on a computer.
Wow.
He was around a lot. Out of the Bureau for a couple of years. Pretty much an unclassified data bank, bios, nothing needy. I think that's all we're gonna get. Have you seen him use a laptop?
Okay, I've seen him use one of those little hand things.
Hand things?
No, with the pencil.
Personal organizer.
That, can you get into that?
Maybe.
Really?
Some of the newer ones have cellular modems built in for email. Transmit and fax just like a laptop. You got a cell number?
No. Wait, how about this? There's a list of everyone working on the McAfee case. Naples. Pager fax.
I can do it with the fax.
Okay.
Hold on.
Data scrolls quickly across the screen.
Now what?
Give it a second. It's downloading. All right, we're in.
There is a list of files.
Right there.
Personal?
Give me the personal, yeah.
The screen says loading. Agent Naples is driving in his car. He reaches into his pocket for his organizer as it beeps. The screen says transmitting. He punches on the keypad and then the touch screen.
That file, give me the section 238.
Okay. Got it.
Go
Illinois State Power. Paul Jackson Jensen Wendt.
Naples continues to tap at his organizer. The screen reads address trace.
Uh-oh. He knows we're in. He's running a trace. I gotta get out.
No. Don't go out. Print it up.
It's gonna lock.
Print it up.
That printer's ancient. We're gonna get nailed.
Trust me, Carrie. Come on.
Sam, I'm getting out.
Don't. Stay with me.
I gotta go.
No. Don't touch that button. Just give me 5 seconds. Just give me 5 seconds. 2 seconds.
I'm out.
Kill it.
The words trace lock appear.
Got it.
Sam snatches paper from the printer.
Where are you going?
The first and simplest emotion of the human mind is curiosity. Edmund Burke.
Yeah. Well, curiosity killed the cat.
With a gentle swagger, Sam saunters out of the station. Naples emerges behind him, arms tightly folded and lips pursed together. His eyes blink with a maniacal look. A new grey autumn day. Crisp brown leaves coat the ground. An FBI agent hovers a metal detector over the leaves. He walks between bare trees, staring downwards. He crouches down and uses a gloved hand to brush away a few leaves. He uncovers the handheld device that Raymond used earlier. The agent looks around. He has an identical neck scar to Agent Naples. Sam sits at his desk with Tammy's drawing spread out in front of him. Looking thoughtful, he picks up a scrunched ball of paper. He unfurls it and gathers up the drawings.
Nils, I'm gonna be out for a while. Take any messages, will you?
As Sam leaves, Mills, a young uniformed officer, stares blankly ahead, showing no signs of registering Sam's request. Naples sits in the interrogation room. The device uncovered in the woods is placed in front of him. He scans the red beam across the back of his hand.
Found it very close to where the McAfee girl was discovered. Must have put the codes in her head.
Thank you. That's very clever, Ren. Yes. Goodbye.
Naples leaves with a start. Raymond's face looks grim. His lips tremble between a quiver and a snarl. He brings his cuffed hands to his mouth. A man in well-pressed trousers and sturdy shoes paces into a room. The man comes to a standstill and raises a pistol.
No!
The shooter is Mills. His face glistens slightly with sweat, but still betrays no emotion. Mills sedately sits down opposite the body of Raymond and lays his gun on the table. Sam stands outside a house that seems to match one of Tammy's drawings. He strides across the garden and hops up to the front door.
Hello? Mrs. Darlington!
As Sam rounds the corner, Darlene aims a gun at him.
Whoa. Not again.
One more step and I'll turn you into a donut.
All right, why don't we just relax here, Mrs. Darlington? It's me, Detective Adams. You came and saw me.
She gradually lowers the gun.
Detective Adams?
Yeah, you remember UFO and all that? Yeah, I just thought I'd drop by and discuss what you saw that night.
Why?
Well, this may sound a little crazy, but I happen to have with me some pictures here that I'd like you to just take a look at.
Moving cautiously, Sam takes the gun from Darlene and hands her a drawing.
Who drew this? Where did you get it?
Is this what you saw that night?
My, that's it right there. Came right over the house. You see, those two boys saw it. They were killed for what they saw, Detective. I'm not safe here.
Well, you got to slow down for me. Who's killed here now?
Those two lovely boys who were repairing the wires.
Where'd you hear that?
I saw it in the paper. Said it was an accident, that their truck rolled off the road. Well, I'm the next accident. You can bet on that.
Were these the two boys you're talking about?
Mrs. Darlington. Paul Jackson and Jensen Witt. That's what the paper said. I'm not safe here. You said I was safe.
Mrs. Darlington, you're very safe. What you told me about what you saw that night, I didn't tell anybody. All right, that's our little secret. So the safest place for you right now is right here.
Is my name on that list?
No, Mr. See, have a look for yourself.
Sam shows Darlene the list taken from Naples' organizer.
Excuse me, Mrs. Darlington.
He notices the name Tammy McAfee. Sam rushes to his SUV.
But that's a vote of confidence!
The wheels of Sam's SUV spin furiously, throwing up gravel and dust as he tears off. Darlene picks up a gun and, holding it at shoulder level, she nervously aims it around her porch. Another car speeds along a road. Inside, Agent Naples fixes a silencer onto a handgun. In her house, Karen stands slightly stooped as she washes dishes. Someone approaches slowly from behind.
We have to go, Mommy.
Oh, please don't do that.
We have to go, Mommy. We have to go.
Go where, honey?
Don't let them in, Mommy.
Don't let who in?
Them.
Tammy peers out of the window. Karen sees a car pull up outside. Tammy waits in the kitchen as Karen goes to answer the door.
Good afternoon, Miss McAfee. My name is Agent Naples with the FBI. We sure need to speak with your daughter for just a minute or two. Do you think we could arrange that?
Sure, but not today. She's not feeling well, so...
She's not? Could we possibly take a look?
Upstairs. Sweetheart? Honey?
Karen lies unconscious on the floor. Naples goes into the kitchen. He licks his lips, blinks, and cocks his head slightly as he looms over Tammy.
Hello, Pumpkin. I'm a very good friend of your mother's. Now, I don't know if she told you, but you have something that belongs to me.
Sam bursts in, gun drawn.
Get away from the girl. Go to your mommy, sweetheart. It's all right. Go to your mommy.
Mommy!
Drop the gun.
Okay?
Oh, come on. Drop the gun.
You can't shoot me from there, quick draw. I'm out of your range.
Drop it.
Sam shoots Naples.
Run! 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 Run!
Sam trades shots with Naples' accomplice as he, Karen, and Tammy flee out of the house. As Karen and Tammy get into Sam's vehicle, Sam shoots out a tire on Naples' car. Sam jumps into the driver's seat and hurries off as the accomplice fires more rounds at them. Naples begins to scramble up, bleeding slightly from the side of his head. The three arrive back at Sam's house.
Mommy, can I have a cookie?
Yes, honey. Sam, who are you calling?
Sheriff Pierce.
Sam, that was the FBI at my house.
No, it wasn't.
I can't trust them. Who's going to help us?
Karen, that wasn't the FBI. I don't know who the hell it was.
Who was it then?
I don't know. Dance!
Sam notices movement outside.
Down!
Karen crawls out of the room as Sam returns fire. Sam backs out into another room. His partner has appeared and stands by Tammy, gun drawn.
Put the gun down, Sam.
Kid, what the hell are you doing?
You have no idea what you're up against. Put the gun down, Sam.
What's going on?
You have no idea what you're up against. Put the gun down, Sam.
Chip, what are you doing? Chip, put the gun down.
It's over.
Karen sneaks up behind Chip and smashes him around the head with a baseball bat.
Karen? Come on. Karen, come on.
The Pentagon, Intelligence Division.
Stop hovering, Mr. Mason. Have a seat.
I think it's imperative that we consider military action, sir.
Armageddon at hand, Mason? The heaviest concentration of implants is in the area known as Section 238. The probability of an incursion in that vicinity would be most likely.
Emmett will contact me when he recovers the data codes.
Apparently, they were scanned into the subconscious of the McAfee girl. Obviously, we're trying to locate her ourselves.
Emmett is a loose cannon. He was a loose cannon when he worked for the agency. And this reincarnation as an urban gorilla makes this report all the more suspect.
Emmett has always marched to his own tune, but he's a valuable advisor. Solved several complex problems for us.
The Timothy Leary of the CIA.
I am more than willing to take the fall if his information turns out to be science fiction.
Our sources have confirmed certain anomalies.
Anomalies?
Intergalactic transmissions that have no precedent and seem to have a distinct pattern.
Outer space radio, Snow.
Sam's uncle arrives.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
The Senator.
How are you?
Senator?
Oh, thank you for that. How are you? Good to see you.
Have a seat.
General? Senator? I know I'm a little late, so I'll cut to the chase here. We're aware that the scenario described in the report is highly unlikely, to say the least, but we have taken precautions. If the data codes confirm the location of a teleport, we've authorized the use of tactical weapons.
Teleport?
Landing strip.
If there's any change in status, we expect to be notified immediately.
We've been informed that your nephew is somehow involved in the disappearance of the McAfee girl.
I'm afraid Sam doesn't realize what he's gotten himself into. It's a very unfortunate situation, but... Mr. Mason, I'd like a briefing as soon as the codes are retrieved, and you'll get my new contact number within 30 minutes, okay?
Yes, Senator.
Any questions?
No, sir.
No? Okay. Thanks for your time.
Senator.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
They all shake hands and the Senator leaves. Elsewhere, a policeman patrols with a flashlight. The officer gets into his car and drives off. He fails to notice Sam, Karen and Tammy hiding in the shadows nearby. Sam looks around cautiously. Karen holds Tammy with a panicked expression. Sam removes his jacket.
Take my jacket.
Are they gonna get us, Sam?
No, honey, I'm not gonna let anybody get you or your mommy. I promise.
Sam's expression makes him appear unconvinced by his own words. Tammy hugs him tightly. The next morning, Tammy and Karen lie together asleep in a shed. Sam watches Madeline, the female police officer from self-defense class, put a cat out. Agent Naples stares intensely straight ahead as he speeds along a road. The wound on the side of his head is now dressed with gauze. Mist surrounds the hangar buildings as Naples once again drives through the large, guarded doors of one of the hangars. Standing erect, both hands shoved into his overcoat pockets, he descends in an open lift framed by metal girders. Either side of the lift, two blue lights pierce the otherwise dark surroundings. Naples strides off the lift and follows a path marked out by lights on the floor. Two armed men in overalls and caps move aside for Naples. He walks into a more open area where elaborate girders form a pyramid structure. Naples approaches a shorter, lean man in casual dress, wearing headphones, as he takes a shot at a basketball net.
Commander Paul, you wanted to see me?
This planet's only redeeming virtue. This music. Tell me, Agent Naples, what is your favorite?
Country Western, sir. I'm very fond of a man named Hank Williams.
Country Western?
Sir.
30 years is far too long to be away from your home, your family. Do you have family?
No, sir.
No, I think mine will quite enjoy this.
Yes, when I return home, I intend to introduce them to this Mozart. I'm curious, Agent Naples. How would you describe your position with us here?
Covert operative for the implementation, enforcement of Mission Target Earth, sir.
And would finding a 6-year-old little girl who might have the ability to stop an invasion by a civilization 200 light years advanced beyond your own fall into that category?
I'll find her, sir, but I would like to request that we activate all remaining implants in Section 238.
This operation is on a very delicate timetable. Activating the remaining implants could cause a global panic. That would make our transition that much more difficult, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
I need you to recover those data codes before they become public knowledge.
What?
Naples begins to leave.
Agent Naples.
Sir. Hank. Hank Williams. Sir, Hank Williams. Thank you.
Turning on his heels, Naples leaves. The alien chief, Commander Falk, puts his headphones back on and shuts his eyes. Madeline reads a newspaper bearing the headline, Cup Goes Bad, Three Dead.
Continues at this hour for Detective Sam Adams, who it is believed shot and killed 2 federal agents and 1 sheriff's detective at his home last night, injuring 2 others. According to Forsyth Sheriff Maxwell Pierce, the search is concentrated in a 30-mile area. Roadblocks have been set up at all major highways leading from the city. According to Sheriff Pierce, Samuel Adams appears to be responsible for the murders. The motive is not known at this time. Adams is considered armed and extremely dangerous. Anyone with any information is instructed to contact the Sheriff's Department immediately.
Madeline. Wait,
Madeline. Hands in the air, Sam. Hands in the air!
Madeline, just listen to me.
What are you doing here? What is going on with you? You killed a cop!
It was self-defense. They were trying to kill us, Madeline.
Chip was my friend, Sam.
He was my partner, Madeline. You gotta believe me.
Don't move!
Karen enters.
You're the only one he trusts. Please.
I know how it looks, but I am not a cop killer. All right? I don't know what the hell is going on here, but I'm not crazy.
Sam cautiously takes out his gun and lays it down.
I'm just here because I need your help.
You just stay back. Stay back!
Madeline, look at me. You know me.
It said in the papers that they were just there to question you.
They're lying.
That it wasn't provoked, that you just fired!
They're lying.
Couldn't put Humpty together again.
Sighing, Sam and Karen go to where Tammy sits in the next room. Madeline follows them in, lowering her gun.
Tammy, you gotta help me out. Who's Emmett?
1, 2, buckle my shoe. 3, 4, they'll come to your door. 5, 6, pick up sticks. 7, 8, any message early or late.
Maybe she's been brainwashed or something.
Maybe this Emmett, whoever he is, knows why they do this to my daughter.
1, 2, pick up my shoes. 3, 4, they'll come to your door.
5, 6, pick up sticks. 7, 8, any message, early or late.
Who comes to your door and delivers a message?
A mailman?
Or a delivery service?
Sam, Madeline, and Karen all look at each other. Sam flicks through the yellow pages and sees Minutemen Delivery Service. He grabs the phone and dials.
Minutemen.
Is there an Emmett there?
Hold, please.
Who's calling?
I want to speak with Emmett.
Who's calling?
Yeah,
who is this?
Chandler?
The basement.
Sam hangs up the phone and Karen snatches up Tammy. Madeline opens a door for them and the three descend some steps inside. Madeline tucks in her uniform and answers the front door to Naples.
Yes?
Deputy Chandler, we have reason to believe that Sam Adams is in this immediate vicinity and perhaps even seeking the comfort of a friend. Need to look around the house.
I haven't seen him.
Naples barges in.
Smart house, Deputy.
He moves through the house, checking the rooms. On hearing the third, he turns, rubs his lips, and moves towards the basement door. He flings open the door and quickly goes down the steps. Naples notices Tammy's doll lying by a small window.
Children, deputy?
Madeline slams the basement door shut and locks it. Grabbing her gun and bag, she runs out of the house.
Trace said 1921 Oak Street.
You sure it was Adams?
It's all over the scanner. He's been sighted in the area.
Looks like they have company.
Let's drive around back, baby doll.
A blonde woman and bearded man drive in a delivery van. As they pass an alleyway, the blonde spots Sam and the others.
There, it's him.
The bearded man backs up and another man slides open the van's side door. They jog towards the van and pile in.
Go ahead.
Hello, sweetheart.
Don't touch the girl. We didn't realize Raymond used the girl until Naples went after them. If we could have put that together sooner, we might have kept you out of all this.
You're Emmett?
Yes, ma'am. Meet Allison and Remo.
Yeah, nice to meet you. What the hell is going on?
The ones that are after you, Samuel, are implants. Ones just like you and me, except one day, just whoosh, gone. Nothing more than a picture in the back of a milk carton to show for it. Now think of it. Every year, hundreds of people say they've been abducted. Most of these people are crazy, but not all of them.
What are you talking about, abducted?
Abducted. You know? Aliens. What's the matter? Don't you watch daytime television?
No.
Neither do I. And I'm not talking about cute little ETs, either. They've been taking them for years. They shoot them with an implant. An organic implant.
Most die from it. A lucky few are immune. It takes a strong mind to resist it. Right, Mommy?
Conformity was never our style.
Those less fortunate who can't resist don't even know they're implants. Until they're activated. All quietly re-infiltrated back into society, now in positions of power. Police, politicians, lawyers, judges, FBI, you name it, could be anybody. Your next-door neighbor, your Uncle Sam, all ready to seize control of everything that makes this country function just as soon as their friends arrive.
Madeline shakes her head and Sam swallows hard. They share a nervous and almost disbelieving glance as they take this in. The van is now parked outside a brick building.
This is our HQ. Our lines are tapped into a local delivery service. Our cover for the moment. We move around a lot. This is Nate.
They shake hands.
Good work, cowboy.
Remo!
Sir.
Let's get Tammy here some paper.
Got it. Here.
Remo, the bearded man, thrusts a large menacing gun into Sam's hand.
Sweetheart. What are you going to do to her?
We're just going to download everything Raymond stuffed into her head. Look, I promise, it's not going to hurt a bit. You're just going to get your daughter back like none of this ever happened.
Karen looks to Sam for reassurance. She acquiesces and sits Tammy down. Karen fondly strokes Tammy's ponytail. Tammy removes her gloves. As Karen looks on nervously, Tammy eagerly picks up a pen and begins to write on the paper in front of her.
Binary codes. The building blocks of modern civilization.
Let's take a look at this. Doesn't look good. What the hell you got in there?
A picture window.
Huh.
Sam has a cut on his ear.
So, you all were abducted by aliens or something?
Yeah, just like you read in the tabloids.
The blonde woman tends to Sam's wound. Karen watches mystified as Tammy feverishly continues to write. Nate scans one of Tammy's sheets of paper into a computer.
I was driving to see my parents. Saw the shadow at first walking the stars. And my car stalled. There was this blinding light. Well, they must have liked what they saw. Because before I knew it, I could feel myself floating. And I was in their ship, strapped to the table. I tried to scream, but there was no sound. And I could feel everything. The piercing, and cutting, and burning. And I thought it would never end. Finally, they dumped me on the side of the road. I tried to tell everybody what happened, but they just thought I was crazy. And I guess I did too. Till I met Remo.
You're okay now, Mommy.
We've got the next generation to think about, Samuel.
That's right.
Some poor guy's having dinner with his family right now. Doesn't even know he's implanted. Till suddenly he's online. Quietly melts into the ranks. Unless he malfunctions. Which Casey goes insane.
The procedure isn't 100% effective yet.
There are different levels of subservience. Some of the implants work in the highest levels of government, behave almost normally. Then you get your kamikazes, sent out with only half a tank and no free will at all.
Target-oriented, one-time usage.
Tammy slaps a pen down and smiles.
Hi, Mommy.
Karen looks down at Tammy. Her eyes widen and lips curl up as her face changes from worry to joy. Karen embraces Tammy.
You got your little girl back, Mrs. McAfee?
What's the matter?
Sam permits himself a brief smile. Nate types at a computer.
It's a lock.
All right. I'm on it. Latitude, 88 degrees, 12 minutes. Longitude, 40 degrees, 39 minutes. It's right in the neighborhood, section 238.
We got the teleport.
What's that?
Their method of transport. Whatever they've disguised it as will generate an energy field by grounding a negative force at ground zero.
We have no idea what it looks like, or even what it is, but in theory, if we eliminate it, we might cause a terminal reaction that'll repel their entire fleet.
Like disconnecting the negative end of a car battery. No juice.
They're in for one very large surprise when their ships don't come out the other side.
What ships?
Ships. The invasion. Aliens.
GMT is 021500. 0 hour local time. 7:15 tomorrow night.
All right. Put it on disk. Call Mason and set up the rendezvous.
Who's Mason?
Our contact. He's come in from Washington. Too risky to send this stuff out through any sort of interlink. It's got to be a handoff.
What about us?
Your job here is finished. You and Tammy stay here with Madeline. Safest place for you now. And, I'm gonna need a tie. Samuel, you come with us.
Sam looks bemused and Karen once again concerned. The newly assembled group enter a dimly lit room.
When you meet this guy, maybe you'll see that we're not so crazy. After the handoff, we'll just pick up the girls at HQ and head off to DC, okay? Just spread out, all right? Spread out, now.
Lights twinkle down onto the floor like stars as they fan out.
Mason? Mason!
Emmett.
Mason enters through the shadows.
It's nice to see you again, Emmett.
The data codes revealed the coordinates of their teleport generator and the time of their arrival. Everything's right here, just like I promised.
Our country, our world is indebted to what you've done. Mr. Adams, you can come with us. Your record will be cleared. You're safe now.
I don't even know you.
A friend. Something you're in very short supply of right now.
Sam frowns. Mason extends his hand. Sam acknowledges this and holsters his gun. A red laser dot appears on Mason's chest. Everyone apart from Sam is shot down.
Sammy!
From behind a curtain, Sam takes aim into the shadows.
Don't move!
Sam, it's me, Ben.
Sam's uncle emerges. Breathing heavily, Sam lowers his gun, then thinking twice, he raises it again.
Ben! What the hell is going on?
You got caught on the wrong side. I don't want you with us.
That's not an answer!
Everything's about to change.
Twitching, Sam looks around at the bodies.
They're bringing stability to the world. God knows we'd use a little bit of that, right?
Stop!
Dampened by sweat, Sam keeps his gun trained on Ben.
Did you have to kill him?
It's not important. This is bigger than those people, bigger than you and me.
Why'd you kill him?
It wasn't him, Sammy boy. It was me.
What the hell are you doing? We got what we came for.
Ben forces Naples' gun down as Sam runs for cover. Naples collects the disc from Mason's lifeless body. He holds it aloft and waves it. Ben surveys the scene with distaste as he and Naples leave. A red stick man is being sketched on a computer screen by Tammy. Sam leans, head bowed, against the door.
Oh, open, come on, open. Patriots. Minutemen, 1776.
Building blocks of modern society, huh?
Binary codes line up with everything else. 0101.
Madeline grins and pats Sam's shoulder as the door slides open.
It's just 9mm clips.
Yep.
Sam and Madeline select weapons from the room, which appears to be an armory. Karen approaches.
Sam's crazy. What are you doing?
What am I doing? I have no idea. Your daughter was brainwashed. My partner tried to kill her. Federal agents are trying to kill us. And now, to top it off, I think my uncle's involved somehow. You tell me what's crazy. Aliens? UFOs? Abductions? Implants?
Got plastic and detonator.
I'm just gonna go out and find the truth. Can't be any crazier than what we've been living through.
Karen's face sharpens with concern. Sam synchronizes his watch with a computer next to Tammy. He sees the picture that she is drawing.
It's a very beautiful drawing.
Thank you.
Sam and Madeline load weapons into the delivery van. Sam smiles broadly and hoists Tammy up into his arms.
Sweetie, come on up. Take care of your mommy, all right?
Okay, bye.
Okay, here you go. Watch your head. Sit down.
Okay, bye, Sam.
Sam places Tammy onto the back seat of a car.
Her name's Darlene Darlington, all right? Just tell her that I sent you and you're going to be safe there.
Karen looks intently into Sam's eyes.
It's been a long time since I felt this kind of pain.
One last promise.
Anything.
Find us.
Sam's mouth curves into a partial smile. He gently leans forward. They begin to kiss, tentatively at first and then passionately.
I promise.
Karen holds the back of Sam's head as they embrace. She gets into the car. Anguish at the parting shows on Sam's face as he watches them drive off. Chief Alien Commander Fork addresses Senator Ben Arnold, who stood his images of crafts on a screen.
Congratulations, Senator. In less than 7 hours, you will become the president of the very first truly united planet Earth, with no term limits, and no need for those White House coffees or guests staying in the Lincoln bedroom.
Mr. Falk, these ships appear to be predominantly military. I was told they'd be mostly transports.
Well, I believe that it was your president, Teddy Roosevelt, who once said, walk softly, but carry a big stick. Don't be concerned, Senator. Our mandate will be grounded on popular consensus. We prefer that the infrastructure stay intact.
And if we're not able to avoid total war?
Then your people will lose. Decisively.
The Senator looks gravely from Fork to the images of the military crafts. He begins to exit.
Are you still with us, Senator? If you're no longer interested, I still have 6 hours in which to promote a new candidate.
I'm still with you.
Pardon me?
I'm still with you.
Good.
The Senator ascends in the lift. Fork turns off the screen. Naples enters, arms guardedly crossed.
Implanting a politician seems almost redundant, don't you think?
Why, is he going to be troublesome?
No. We'll just dial him down a few notches after the invasion.
And what about Adams?
What about him?
Well, it's just I don't like any loose ends, sir, that's all.
Well, then finish it. Activate the remaining implants, if necessary.
Very good, sir. Oh, sir. I brought you a present. That Hank Williams I was telling you about.
That's very thoughtful, Agent Naples. Indeed. Thank you.
Madeline is at the wheel of a van as Sam struggles with a map and a sat-nav unit.
Have you ever used one of those before?
No, but I can read a manual.
Are we getting any closer?
I can't tell.
Even faster.
I'm getting the hang of it. I'm getting the hang of it. All right. Come on, baby. Okay, take the next. Right. Right here.
Madeline follows Sam's direction.
Next street, take a left. All right, slow down, slow down. Straight ahead. Should be 100 yards. Right here.
A satellite dish.
Had the numbers wrong in the longitude, okay. Came as easy as bass fishing, okay.
Possible sighting east of Bellevue and Highway 51. Must have turned back the other way. Lost them.
Come on, you can't lose them! You can't lose them! Son of a bitch!
This is Naples. Emergency alert 510. Activate all Section 238 implants. Go, go!
Sam and Madeline continue to tear along the quiet roads.
Five miles east.
Sam consults the map.
Stop.
What, a radio antenna this time?
No, back it up. Back it up.
I'm backing up.
You know something? We've been by that gate 3 times today.
A lightweight metal gate is locked across a stretch of road. Madeline turns to look at Sam. Madeline swings the van off onto the closed road and smashes through the gate. In his car, Naples, frustrated and angry, slams the dashboard. Night is beginning to fall as the van containing Sam and Madeline continues along the road.
Slow down, slow down.
A large building with 2 towering chimneys comes into view. Sam's eyes narrow as he peers at it. He sifts through Tammy's pictures. He holds up one which appears to be a crude representation of the building. He shows the picture to Madeline.
Look at that.
Later, night has fallen and the van is parked up. Sam grabs a large, high-powered rifle from the van.
Check the mags.
Yeah.
Madeline inserts a magazine into another gun. She begins to sway, winces, and holds her head.
Oh!
Holding the gun, Sam stalks forward, keeping tight against a wall. On the other side of the wall, 100 yards away, is the factory building. Sam peers over the wall and looks through the gun's telescopic sight. Through the sight, Sam sees half a dozen or so armed men guarding the outside of the factory. Having regained her composure and with a determined look, Madeline turns and walks quickly towards Sam, her gun drawn.
Drop the gun, Sam. Now! Over there. Over there, now! Number 71996017 4. I have Sam Adams at the end of the plant access road. He has explosives to blow it up. Oh my God!
Number 71996017 4. Confirm.
Madeline, look at me.
I can't stop it, Sam.
Fight it.
I can't. No.
Yeah, you can. Look at me. You can fight it. Fight it, Madeline. You can do this.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God, Matt.
Madeline shoots herself in the stomach.
What'd she do?
Are you there?
What'd she do?
Backup is on the way. Okay. 71996017 4. Are you there? Respond, please. Respond.
Sam stamps angrily down on the walkie-talkie. He sprints back to the van, grabbing a rucksack and another gun. Sam checks his watch as he slopes into and along a narrow walkway through a corridor lined with pipes. Sam lays his rifle down and looks upwards at a grill above his head. He aims a pistol as a guard stands on the grill. The guard moves away. Sam lifts aside the grill and, checking the coast is clear, scrambles up to the floor above.
All personnel proceed with system status check. Final approach control. All personnel proceed with system status check.
As guards hunt around, Sam moves quickly through the industrial factory building, trying to avoid detection. Not noticing Sam, Naples appears close by. Men dressed the same as the other guards perform checks on a machine. Next to the machine, spare uniforms hang on a rail. Sam slips in and grabs one along with a tool belt.
Guys, I'm at step command, checking.
All right, reconfigure drive formula for 10 and balancing high and
mid-sensitive.
Check on the flux. Clear. 10 minutes
to transport. Generators 1 and 5 commence.
Hey, no.
Right.
A guard acknowledges Sam, who now blends in wearing his overalls and carrying a clipboard. Sam holds a gun behind the clipboard. After checking the coast is clear, he pockets it. Surrounded by tons of machinery and metal, Sam looks all around in the dimly lit factory. Hidden in shadow, Sam walks up to a large machine. Sam crouches down and sticks a bomb onto the side of the machine. As people pass behind him, Sam arms the device, pretending to study his clipboard. Through a cloud of steam, Naples runs up a metal staircase. Sam continues to walk around the factory, pretending to check his clipboard to avoid arousing suspicion from the guards bustling by. Clutching another bomb, Sam ducks behind a pillar as a guard climbs a ladder close by.
5 minutes to transport.
Sam kneels down and attaches the bomb to the side of a metal tank. Keeping his head lowered, Sam shuffles away. Naples continues to stalk single-mindedly along, gun at the ready. As he passes beneath an orange light, his face is lit up, revealing a cold, hard stare. Still making his way through the plant, Sam stops and shines a torch towards the ground ahead of him. He slips off his tool belt and ducks under a large pipe. He places the third bomb onto the side of a large machine covered with pipes and gauges. Naples appears behind the kneeling Sam and grins.
Now what's the problem, Air Scooter? We got scheduled maintenance and mechanical repair? What kind of problem are we dealing with here?
We got 150 PSI going through a 120 valve.
Wouldn't want to blow up the building.
4 minutes to transport. All generators are fully operational.
You know what the bigger problem just might be? That bomb. Give me the detonator. Give me the detonator, Sammy.
The detonator!
Sam reaches slowly into his pocket and removes the detonator. As he moves to pass it, Sam throws the detonator at Naples and hits him in the crotch, causing his gun to drop to the floor. In the tussle, Sam is able to retrieve the detonator. As soon as he does this, Naples punches him hard in the face. This is followed up by a vicious kick. Naples begins to choke Sam with some hanging chains. Sam fights back, elbowing Naples and struggling free from his grip. Naples continues to dominate as they fight on a mezzanine-level gangway. The detonator is knocked out of Sam's hand. Naples grabs it and begins to throttle Sam against the railings that protect from the sheer drop to the floor below. Sam manages to punch Naples away. As Naples swings his fist violently, Sam deflects him and throws Naples up and over the railings. Naples' legs dangle as he hangs gripping onto Sam's hand.
3 minutes of transport. System status check clear. System status check clear.
Detonator! Give me the detonator! I could have helped too, Sammy. I could have told you things. Things about your wife. She was my favorite little implant. But it just didn't take. Now, it just didn't take. You lose again, Quick Draw. You lose again.
Still holding the detonator, Naples plummets to the floor, landing heavily on a cluster of wooden pallets. Naples blinks. A trail of blood runs from his nose. He looks across at the detonator in his hand and forces a painful smile. With a grimace, Naples' eyes close and his head lolls to one side. Sam looks down in shock. A guard sees the body of Naples and looks up at Sam. Sam grabs a handgun from a tool belt on the floor. Sam jumps down a ladder and onto the level below. Handgun drawn, Sam begins to make his way out. He starts to move up some steps as a guard comes down. As guards scour around, Sam drops down behind them and hurries down more steps. He rushes to the grill through which he entered. Sam hurriedly moves the grill aside and descends into the corridor below, pulling the grill back across just as a guard appears. As the guard begins to move away, Sam backs along the corridor. Sam turns and runs back outside to the wall on the factory's perimeter.
1 minute to transport.
Kneeling down, Sam rests his rifle on the wall. Breathing deeply to steady himself, Sam looks through the sight at the bomb that he planted on the side of the metal tank. Sam checks his watch, 7:14.
30 seconds to transport.
Sam is distracted as his eyes glance skyward. Open-mouthed and aghast, Sam watches as white lights, bigger and brighter than the surrounding stars, converge together. Collecting himself, Sam puts his eye back to the gun's sight.
20 seconds to transport.
Sam's shot is wide of the target. Sam begins to panic as the sight goes briefly out of focus.
10 seconds to transfer. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Commence transport.
Sam misses again. He looks up. The lights have gathered together in a swirling circular formation. Determined, Sam focuses on his target once more. The barrel of the gun steadies as Sam holds himself as still as possible. His blackened finger rests on the trigger. Sam smiles, then ducks for cover as explosions occur all over the factory. One of the mighty chimneys collapses as smoke rises up from the burning buildings. Explosions light up Sam's face as he looks up into the sky. Each of the lights darts out from the swirling circle, leaving a small trail of light before disappearing. A general is briefed back at the Pentagon Intelligence Division.
Mason was found dead, along with Emmett. Apparently, someone took their information seriously. We also have confirmation that the intergalactic transmissions we've intercepted have vanished.
Radio Snow.
The general looks thoughtfully out of a window. Commander Fork stares at a screen that shows nothing but a dead transmission. He looks away, crestfallen. Sam enters through a door into a garage. Another door is covered with police tape. Sam feels under the wheel arch of his parked SUV for some keys. Suddenly, he draws his gun. Darlene sits on a porch with her rifle. Karen and Tammy sit next to her.
Power outages have affected thousands of customers. The number of casualties hasn't yet been confirmed as the fire from the explosion is still burning. The cause of the accident remains a mystery as well. We'll be bringing more updates live from the scene as more facts become available. Also today, authorities are apparently closing in on Detective Samuel Adams near his home in Springfield. Additional law enforcement officials from both state and federal agencies have arrived on site. Adams has remained at large for the murders of at least three law enforcement officers, as well as the apparent kidnapping of Karen and Tammy McAfee, who are still missing. Detective Adams has managed to...
The three get up and apprehensively move across the porch as they see the SUV speeding along the road towards the house. Darlene cocks her rifle. The vehicle stops. Sam and Jefferson jump out. Tammy runs excitedly to Sam. He beams as he lifts her into the air. Karen runs up and throws her arms around Sam. Darlene looks on fondly. She allows her rifle to lower in her hand.
I promised the kid, didn't I? Besides, it's not every day you get to save the world.
Next week, living up Thursday. provide you with such shining proof. And what experts are calling an astronomical phenomenon, citizens of central Illinois were treated to the meteor shower of the century last night. It looked like some kind of 4th of July video game, said Spencer Bennett, age 8. Whatever the reaction, whoever managed to see the short-lived but impressive display has something to remember for a long time to come.
The group go back inside Darlene's house. A solitary white light shines brightly in the blue haze of the dusky sky. The end.